dress had made. Step on me. Only then will I be free. Step on me. Oh, she was hiding me. Every girl face I see. Step on me.
Flashbacks very briefly of Tristan Henry screaming at me in training when I've missed something. So very happy to put it past him and not have to hear that. It's a good experience. Being on the wrong end of a couple of those battles with Calgary, so it's very nice to be on the former this time. It came down to pure effort, and I think that we outworked them tonight, and I think the scoreline reflects that.
That was Anthony Novak commenting on scoring against his former club. Two goals in the last two games for both Novak and Moosey. Liking the direction that we're heading. I'm Shafe. This is the Bow River Brigade podcast. Doogie, how does it feel to get a prediction right?
Feels pretty good, Shafe. It feels pretty good. That's first prediction of the season, correct. And the 1-0 lead feels pretty darn good, I'll say that.
Yeah, one of these days, I'm going to get one. So, looks like Calgary kind of shook up. They're looking like they're getting a little bit of chemistry on the back. We saw a little bit different roles. DKR was kind of playing further up on the pitch. We have Farsi kind of playing more of a midfield role. And then kind of having a solid back line coming together.
Looks like the new formation is working for us. The 3-4-2-1 kind of formation, it seems like it's paying off. We've been getting a little bit more offense, and we've been a little more stingy on defense. We're still letting up the odd goal here and there.
Yeah, I can't get a clean sheet for Carducci, it seems.
But perfect way to cap off and finish the kickoff bubble in Winnipeg, was it not?
Yeah, absolutely. 14 points coming out of the opening kickoff bubble.
You know, that's a pretty good return. We're right in the thick of things. We're tied with Pacific. You know, what more can we ask for? And cap it off with a win against Forge. Why not?
Yeah, leapfrog over top of Forge. That's always what we like to see. It's also nice to see a solid back line coming together. Got Klomp, Yeo, and Trafford. They've been together for the last two games, and I'm liking how they're shaping up.
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's been a couple mistakes in a few games earlier in the season, and a couple that have cost us, you know, Yeo with a slip and that kind of thing. But it's good to see that they're starting to solidify and they're starting to kind of find their rhythm and find their groove on things.
Yeah, chemistry is coming together. Everyone is really happy to see that. Still, have to let one in every game, I guess. That seems to be our average, is letting one goal pass the pipes every game.
2-1 win against Forge. It was a dominant performance. Anthony Novak in the 11th minute kicked off the scoring with a great goal.
Yeah, it was a really nice little play there. He had Carducci with that big boot downfield to find Escalante's head on the sideline. Plays it right up the middle for Novak to find. He kind of dances around a couple of Forge defenders and, well, it's got to feel good to put it past your old team.
Great anticipation by Novak to anticipate the ball to go through like that.
And, you know, starting off early, getting that goal is a good way to set the pace for the whole game. The Cavs are looking like they're finding their footing, which is finally good to see.
Yeah, definitely. All that sweeter to, you know, score a goal against your former teammates. And, you know, that was the kind of goal that we've come to expect from Novak over the years. He's done it with Forge in the past, so it was good to see him do that for us, especially against Forge.
And also paired with the classic bad commentating by One Soccer.
Why wouldn't you, right? I mean, Novak, yes, Vak.
No.
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 I hope you actually wrote that on your sheet. Like, I'm going to wait for Novak to score today so I can say Novak, yes, Vak.
Actually, is that the worst commentating of all time on a goal? Please, please reach out to us. Let us know if you guys have any examples of other terrible commentating on goals. We'd love to see them, but that's got to be pretty high up there, Shafe, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know if I've really heard any worse commentating. And if he thinks that was a clever comment, it wasn't.
He's turning into the Gene Principe of the Canadian Premier League. I mean, that guy, if you guys watch the NHL, he is the worst. Every chance he gets, he has to throw in some dumb pun about somebody's name. And it's just, It is the absolute worst. So let's maybe trend away from that.
Yeah, I know there was a comment someone made online asking, how do I turn off the commentating on One Soccer while I watch this game? I recommend just throwing it on mute, throw on a favorite album or something like that, sit back and just watch it that way. It's much more enjoyable.
Heck, listen to our podcast.
Anything was a little bit better than Novak, Yes Back.
Definitely. And you know what was better than Novak, Yes Back? That Ali Moussi goal.
Yeah, that was great in the 33rd minute. Moussi plays it to Di Chiara for a little give and go, slips by the Forge backline, and Moussi gets the ball back to put it past Henry.
Norman Jr., Moussi, Norman Jr., Di Chiara, give and go in the net. Those three, they were playing the triangle perfectly, they not? It's the classic football technique triangle, and that was literally the best example you could find.
You couldn't have drawn it up any better on the chalkboard.
No, definitely. What a wonderful team play, and great to see Ali Moussi get on the score sheet that game. He was playing his tail off, that's for sure.
Yeah, two goals in the last two games for Moussi, but he was only able to play about 40 minutes shortly after his goal. He takes a knock and is replaced by Luca, I think around the 36th minute. Moussi was on crutches by the end of the match, so we'll be praying to the gods of old and new that his injuries aren't too extensive.
It didn't look great. Like you say, you know, crutches, obviously never a great sign.
Tommy touched on Moosey's outstanding performance in his post-game following the match.
He's going through a resurrection now because I had him in 2018 with the PDL champions that we won in 2018. He joined Valor because he wanted to join a place where he grew up. And it didn't quite work for him. And, you know, these things happen in football, you know, was kind of just left and floated around Europe. And I just thought he's a type of player in this league that he's different. Like Richard Luca, where they can buy you time and space. Ali's a very, very intelligent player. He's sticky, can drop the shoulder. He's got a little bit of that, you know, not to give too much, but a bit like that Mo Salah where they can shift and they can go in on the left or can cut onto their right. And he's always got a goal in him. And I thought his goal today was a great team goal, but clinically finished. He's been doing smashing. Hopefully, you know, I don't know what the extent of the injury is, but hopefully he's not gone too long.
Yeah, hopefully he's not gone too long. And hey, boy, do I like a little comparison with Moussi and Mo Salah.
Ugh, Mo Salah. With all the current injuries that we have, Shafe, like we have Minutel, Camargo, Moussi.
Field, yeah.
Is Trafford, you know, he came off partway through the match. It, you know, is he feeling full fitness? That's always a question too, right?
Yeah, I think they're just a little bit managing Trafford's minutes. We don't want to lose another person to injury right now. So trying to balance the minutes so that after playing so few games and then coming in with this fast-paced tournament, you're going to end up getting some injuries, especially on that hard turf they're playing on.
There's so many matches crammed together in this schedule that, you know, as you said, we really need to, if somebody's maybe not even full fitness, you need to watch their minutes.
Yeah, exactly. We don't want to see any more players go down. But the Cavs were looking good. They outshot Forge in the first half, but Forge had a slight edge in possession throughout the game. But apparently that was all part of Tommy's master plan.
Very proud of the boys because we had at least 3 days or two and a half because there was one where we couldn't get much time because of the smoke that was here. But we had a few days to actually tactically prepare. So we talked about roles and objectives. We wanted to give a little bit of a different nuance than we had against them for a while. And we dominated possession last time and they were comfortable with it. So we actually went the other way and allowed them to get a little drunk on possession. And we were able to counter them and open them up and score a couple early goals and, you know, could have had a third. But listen, credit to Forge, they're a terrific side. So, you know, at some point they're going to have a wave of attacks and they don't give up. But I'm proud of the lads. They stuck to the tactical plan. We had to change it one or two times. But to do that on the fly in the heat of a game in your final game of this, it takes some doing and they were terrific.
You know, I always put too much emphasis on possession statistics. I mean, I guess it's really more about what you do when you have the ball at your feet, not necessarily who's holding on to the ball the longest.
You know, it depends, like, where is that possession that you guys are having it? Like, if you watched this game, Cavalry really didn't feel that pressed, at least in the first half. The first half, you know, they had a chance early on off of a header that glanced well wide. But aside from that, you know, they didn't have much in our final third.
No, yeah, you're right. And I think Smirdiotis really saw that there was something missing from the Forge lineup. And that's why he decided to make three substitutions coming into the second half. Three subs, that really eats away at all the subs that he had. He already had made one early on because of injury. Now three subs at half. Only has one left. Have you ever seen a team have three subs at halftime?
It's not common. I think I have seen it before. You know, they're going in down 2-0. Really, the possession that they've had hasn't come forth with anything lucrative offensively, and they just really looked like they were going to concede more, if anything. So I can see why he did it. Is it common? Heck no, I don't think so.
Necessary, definitely. If you see, Forge were looking pretty flat there in the first half, and the second half, they started to bring it on a little bit more.
They definitely did. You know, in the 49th minute, Cisse comes in one-on-one virtually with Marco Carducci, and our boy comes up huge with the glove, the palm save. Luckily, we have a world-class goalkeeper that was backing us up.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a good chance there by Forge. You saw Chris Nanko with a well-placed pass to just slip through that Cavalry back line. And you have to give them credit for that one. It was very well done.
They're always a dangerous team. It's the Forge is one of those teams that you have to watch out for that kind of stuff. You could be up 5-0 against Forge. They're still going to be playing their game and still going to be going for those types of through balls, still going to be testing the keeper with shots from Becker, things like that. So they are always, always a dangerous team to play against.
Yeah, and Becker was sitting a little bit further back in their lineup. He wasn't their front man like I think the Cavalry were expecting and preparing for. So he seemed to be a little bit muted this game compared to last one.
I think Cavalry really showed how they were trying to deal with that and deal with Becker. If you want to see how they were doing that, watch Nick Ledgerwood that game. Man, was he a machine. He was crunching bodies. You tried to come up the middle with the ball, do something fancy, get a little time on your foot. He wasn't letting that happen. He was right on you. I don't think Kyle Becker, even if he wanted to go forward, that game had the same lease that he had when he played with us last time.
Yeah, absolutely. Nicky was coming in there and chopping some folks down, and that's what we need. You know, Nick's getting a little bit older in age, but he is the glue that holds this Cavalry team together.
When he's on the pitch, you can see the morale boost that the team has. You can see the organization, things like that. You can clearly see the role that he still plays, and it's a key role.
And I think he's going to continue to play a key role in this Cavalry side for years to come, even if he's not on the pitch. I think he's going to be behind the bench.
Dream come true. He's been through it all. He knows. And it would be a pleasure when he, you know, does wrap up to commit to Cavalry. We would love to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Cavalry almost had a chance to put a third one in there in the 54th minute. Novak gets another great chance after DiChiara is able to strip the Forge defenseman after he mishandled the ball. Henry comes up with a big save on his former teammate, and then they butted heads after, got in each other's faces, both shown yellows.
Novak, he had a chance to, you know, virtually put that game to bed.
Yeah.
With that goal, 3-0, I think Forge deflates right there and then. And as you saw, he was getting under his former teammate's skin.
Yeah, you could see him and Henry were chirping at each other. You can get real personal with those beaks once you've played with them for a couple of years.
Definitely. And moving on from that, one thing that wasn't looking great is we need to stop, as you'd mentioned, giving away goals. Can we not get Marco his clean sheet? And man, some of these goals that we've conceded in, you know, final minutes of games. In this one, 85th minute penalty from Escalante.
Yeah, that was a pretty dumb penalty to take. Really unfortunate, too, because Marco Carducci came out and made that initial stop to stop Babouli when he was charging for it. And then here comes Escalante flying down the wing. It looked like he almost jumped into him, body checked him. And yeah, that's a yellow card. That's a penalty kick. What are you doing?
You have to be in control of your body. You know, that's something we love to see, you know, 5-10 yards outside of the box to stop them on a run. Bad penalty to take, and especially at the time, Forger now back in it.
Yeah, I was a little bit nervous there. You know, Forge had, they were one goal behind, and they have a good opportunity to even it up.
Yeah, Babouli, you know, made Carducci go the wrong way, and they're right back in it. So it's 5 minutes, and I believe there was actually, I think there was a fair amount of extra time.
Yeah, there was 5 minutes of extra time in the first half and the end of the second half. So scoring in the 85th minute, you give Forge at least 10 minutes where they can even it back up. So real dumb thing to do by Escalante there. He got the yellow card. He got an assist earlier in the game. He just needed a goal to complete the set.
Yeah, but he went for the Gordie Howe.
Yeah.
He went for the Gordie Howe and went for the fight instead, right?
Yeah.
We just need to be a little smarter, that's all. And, you know, and it's not Escalante in particular. It's not, you know, everyone has those one-off mistakes. Everybody has a bad game. But that last 10 minutes was not comfortable. And we don't want to do that against Forge.
Yeah, shaking in my boots there for the last 10 minutes because I was going to be like, this could be an epic crumble.
It's happening again.
Yeah.
We've seen Forge can do this. And Borges, he doesn't quite look the same, but at the same time, he had a run against us. I think it was 31st minute or something like that. He walked through three of us, shrugged Farsi off, you know, dipped through two guys pinching him at the same time. And, you know, if the shot isn't blocked and closed down by Klomp, who had an amazing game, by the way, as much as I hate it, I feel like Tristan Borges is going to start getting comfortable again, playing in the CPL, getting his minutes. Eventually, he's going to find his footing.
Yeah, he's still not quite back up at match fitness, but when you see him dance around a few defenders, you know that he's going to get there again.
The talent is still there.
Yeah. The Cavs do come away with 3 points off of that last game in the bubble. Doogie, who's your man of the match in this one?
That is a tough question. We mentioned Nicky.
Yeah.
He'd be high in the running. You know, if I really had to pick one, I'm going to go with Dan Klomp.
Yeah. The Flying Dutchman was all over the pitch, and he was looking great. You know, it's between Klomp for me, obviously, played fantastic, but Di Chiara, he was looking really sharp up front.
Best game he's played in a Cavalry shirt by far. And, you know, I've seen glimpses of that. He's had games like that where he turns the game on its head. He is a game-changing type player.
Yeah, and Tommy touched on the play of Di Chiara and Klomp in his post-game press conference.
Joe's a man mountain, but he's one of these sticky players. You can play it to him and it's like glue. He runs with the ball. You see the goal at him and Alanoussi. I'm looking forward to seeing that back because they were just doing this in practice where there was just give and go. And I thought, that's just sometimes these partnerships come out organically and got to give them credit. But no, Di Chiara is good because he's exactly suits the way we wanted to play. And I think he announced himself to our fans really with that performance at when it mattered. Dan Klomp, I said at the beginning, you know, he was a clone of both, you know, Jay Wield and Dominic Zator. But I tell you, it'll take some money to sell him right now because he's one of the best centre-backs. And we've usually had, like, after Joel Waterman and the two ones and Mason Trafford and Karifa Yao as part of an MLS group, we got some terrific centre-backs. Dan Klomp, he can defend, he can play, he can run for 95 minutes. And he just seems to be getting better and better. And that's only 8 games. He never wanted to not play. But again, terrific, massive upside, and we just got to keep working with him.
Yeah, we are not selling Dan Klomp. I don't care how much money. Okay, maybe we'll consider it for a lot of money, but like, he is killing it right now.
Shafe, I actually just read a article saying, is Dan Klomp the best central defender in the Premier League right now?
Yeah.
And currently playing in the Premier League, that might be true, because Valor's Jean-Baptiste just went out, and I think he's gone the entire season now with an ACL injury. So they're saying that Dan Klomp is the number one front runner for best center back.
Yeah, that's a big hit for Valor to take.
Ugh, that is a tough, terrible injury to take. And could it happen to a bigger player on Valor? I'm not sure. He is their glue.
Yeah, that's right. So I hope that there's speedy recovery for him. Not good to see.
No, not at all.
So with this win over Hamilton, Cavs move ahead of Forge into third place with 14 points. PFC, who are ahead of us just in goal difference. And Valor remains sitting pretty in that number one spot with 18 points coming out of the bubble.
I love to bake, but I either don't have the time or I'm missing a crucial ingredient. That all changed when I discovered Lazy Bake. Baking kits delivered right to your door. I just need a couple basic ingredients and I'm baking like a pro. All you need is water for delicious campfire cookies or a can of beer for the Dilipino beer bread. Lazy Bake makes baking a breeze for even the most inexperienced baker. Visit lazybake.com and enter promo code BRBFOOTY for 25% off your first order. Lazybake.com, promo code BRBFOOTY. Lazy Bake, baking made easy.
All right, next game for the Cavs is an away match against PFC. First game out of the bubble. I think the chemistry of the Cavs are there. I think they're going to play well. This is going to be an important game in the standings for the Cavs. We're neck and neck with PFC. And I'm seeing another Cavs victory. I'm going to play the odds. I'm going to take the easy route this time. I'm taking the 2-1, the Cavs victory this time.
What? Okay, next week I get to go first and take the 2-1. Yeah. I think that's kind of just what we do, is it?
Apparently, I think if this is the way it keeps going, whoever speaks first.
Play the odds, right?
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that it's going to be kept very interesting, and I think they're going to come away with a 1-1 draw.
Ooh, yeah.
And I think things are not quite going to be solved, and unfortunately, if that happens, that might leave an opening for Forge to gain on us.
Yeah. Will Marco ever get his clean sheet this year?
I don't know. Not according to us so far.
No. So August 3rd is the home opener for the Cavs. The turf has been completely redone. More floodlights on the grounds. We're going to be able to see every corner of the pitch this year.
Wait. Did you say floodlights?
Yeah, plural.
No.
Yeah, they threw an S on the end of that.
Two of them?
Three, I think, actually.
Three? Oh, man. Yeah. This is going to be a season for the ages.
Buddy that bought that kit that had one floodlight as his numbering and name on the back of his jersey is going to have to put that one up into the rafters.
Yeah, essentially. Get it signed and put her up in the rafters.
It's going to be nice to be back on home turf, and Tommy touched on this in his postgame.
It would be nice to be playing back on grass at Anfield Field at Spruce Meadows, because the pitch has been done, the lights have gone in, and it's like a putting green. So it'll be a different game because it's rock hard here. And you can see with the number of injuries that are starting to mount up across the teams, it's a tough place to come and play. So to get back to the grass will be huge for us. We want to use that playing back in front of our fans, who are incredible. We got to just concentrate on winning as many home games as we can and keep trying to steal points on the road as best we can.
The Bow River Brigade podcast is part of the Northern Starting 11 Network, online at nsxinetwork.com.
You know, going into that, I think atmosphere, as Tommy said, it's going to play a huge part, being back on the putting green, so to say, and having the fans in the stands. My prediction, I'm going big on this one, 3-0.
Maybe Marco's going to get his clean sheet. I'm going with a 2-0 victory for the Cavs.
All right. So I guess, we were both on the same wavelength, and now I guess I'm just hoping that we're having a bit more of an offensive type game. But yeah. I think Cavs are going to come out strong at home.
The Canadian Championship has also now been announced. The whole table has been released. We know who we're going to play, what it's going to look like. Doogie, take us through it.
It's going to be a little bit different this year. They're doing a single leg knockout. So winner takes all, winner moves on.
Home field advantage is going to be real this year.
It is. And Cavalry don't have home field advantage for the first game. Kicking off the tournament and playing August 15th against none other than FC Edmonton.
Yeah. So get in your caravan, head up north, catch that game if you're able to. When we beat FC Edmonton, who is our next opponent?
If we beat FC Edmonton, we'll go on to play against the winner of Pacific FC and our very familiar foes, the Vancouver Whitecaps.
Yeah, that'll be a good match. A little rivalry in the home market there between PFC and Vancouver. Vancouver, very struggling side right now.
I think this might be the match of the first round.
Yeah.
This is going to be an exciting, exciting event to watch. PFC have been playing some major football lately, and Whitecaps, as you said, have been struggling.
Yeah.
How sweet would it be to see Marco Bustos put them past the Whitecaps, his former team that he, you know, didn't get much for starting minutes? I think he did get a couple starting minutes with the Canadian Championship, that kind of thing. But for the most part, he was with their academy squad. So he's going to be looking to score against them.
Yeah, he'll be coming out with some fire. And I don't know if Vancouver are going to be able to beat Pacific, to be perfectly honest. I kind of want them to, just because I want to see the Cavs face off against the Whitecaps again and then knock them out again. That would just be great.
I would love that as well. I don't know, you know, Marco Bustos and PFC and Pamadou Ka, an ex-Whitecaps player, they're going to have something to say about it. So
we'll go over a little bit more about what the Canadian Championship and how that's all going to shake down a little bit later. But let's turn the page a little bit and let's talk Professional Footballers Association of Canada. We saw the Halifax Wanderers team take to the field in PFA t-shirts the other day. The Cavs were also posted a social media post about it, but they didn't actually take to the field. And apparently those Halifax players are going to be fined for walking out into the field wearing those shirts.
Yeah, Shafe, we're in a tough situation.
Yeah, the players in the league are butting heads. They're not really making a livable wage just playing football, and it's going to really hurt the league if the players aren't willing to stick around and play for their home teams, their home country in the CPL. We're going to lose a lot of these players overseas.
Well, we'll lose these players overseas, or we'll lose these players in Canada or wherever else to other jobs, other occupations. You know, if you're trying to make ends meet, and if you can't do that for yourself, how are you supposed to do that with a family? And how are you supposed to expect players to want to stay and want to commit fully to football if they can't do that?
The players are just asking for a voice at the table and some representation. I have this tweet here from the Professional Footballers Association of Canada. Collective bargaining doesn't mean parties are adversaries. It means they are partners. Everyone in the soccer family in Canada wants to see a successful CPL, especially the players. Giving the players a formal voice only enhances the credibility of the CPL both here and abroad.
They need to be heard. It's super unfortunate because there's teams like Cavalry, they're owned by Southern Family, who have billions and billions of dollars, you know, $2.3 billion, I believe. And some of these players that they own to come play for their club can't, you know, like I said, like start families. They can't. And we're seeing players retiring early. We're seeing players, like, maybe is that what's going on with Nico Pasquati?
Didn't like the politics of the CPL and what's going on. He didn't appreciate not having a voice. I'm assuming. I don't know. I haven't spoken to him.
And you're losing great players. He was an iconic player for the first two seasons for us. And every CPL fan that watched those seasons is going to know his name, and he was a game changer, and now he's gone.
Yeah, he was a star, and I think he's realized that it's maybe not worth his time. He can do something else, make a little bit more cheddar.
That is a major problem. You know, say they lose players like Mo Farsi, you know, well, I'm going to be making how much? Well, I did school for this, and I could go do this, and yeah. I have a buddy that has a great company set up for this and that. We lose Mo Farsi, doesn't go get called up to the national team. Essentially, that's a fail on every aspect of what this league is trying to do. It's a fail to the players. It's a fail to the league and the owners because they have set out to make this league so that we're going to benefit our national team. If we're limiting our pool of national players because they don't want to come play, and we lose out on an Alphonso Davies because he goes and becomes a construction worker, what do you do? Then we've taken 5 steps back.
Bottom line is the CPL needs to listen to the players. They need to give them a voice, respect them, if they want to continue to build this game properly in Canada. If you want to build that talent, if you want to see the Canadian national team really make a dent on the international stage.
100%.
Well, that about does it for another episode of The Pod. Single game tickets are now available for purchase, so get online, get out into the stands. I can't wait to see your beautiful faces out at ATCO Field.
Give us a follow on all your social media platforms at BRB Footy. That's BRBFOOTY. Shoot us an email if you'd like at brbfooty@gmail.com. Give us a little banter. Let us know what the worst sports announcing in history was.
Yeah, get into the conversation. Love to hear from you. Music is by Mitch Bellot. Visit him online at mitchbellot.com. That's MitchBellot.com. He's playing a lot.